When I saw that I was in the session on mental health, I thought, why? I'm not a mental health expert or a clinician, so I thought, oh, they made a mistake. But after sitting here and listening to the other presenters, I thought that actually was a good choice, and I learned a lot. So what I'm going to talk today is about a qualitative component of a study that we conducted, and looking at the perception and implications of stigma among HIV-positive clients attending sexual and reproductive health services in Kenya. And while there's a lot of literature around stigma within HIV-positive women, and in particular also in sexual and reproductive health services, but there were very limited information and research recently among HIV-positive women attending family planning clinics and postnatal care clinics, and in particular in Kenya, where we were doing the study. And this is a part of a much larger study that is focusing specifically on integration of services and HIV into sexual and reproductive health services. And so I'm presenting here today just the small component that we did in Kenya, and in particular in the two provinces, in Eastern and Central, which has a percentage of HIV prevalence around range between 3 and 5%, at least in the cohort that we did. So the main aim of the study was to look at the experiences of stigma perceived and felt by the clients attending the family planning and the postnatal care clinics. And in particular, we wanted to look at what were the service implications, and specifically, for example, for drug adherence and drug uptake. And it's a qualitative study, and we conducted 49 semi-structured interviews with clients. And as I said before, it was an opportunistic sample because we used the sample of this larger cohort of women that we were already following. And we transcribed, translated the interviews, and we coded using the MVivo 8 and did a thematic analysis. And so these are the main themes I'm presenting today, in particular community stigma and the perceptions of women, and the different fears that the women actually felt and experienced. And in particular, I'm going to focus a lot on disclosure and impact on drug uptake. And quite interesting, there is something about service implications and the lack of trust in providers and lack of privacy and confidentiality within the health facilities that we were, where we recruited the women. So, in terms of the community stigma, people really felt quite negative beliefs around the community, and the fact that this type of beliefs and stigma would push women even more into secrecy and not actually disclosing their status. And women said that people can treat them badly for many reasons, because they see them as a burden, because they see them as a danger, they will infect others. And some even says that once you are ill, you won't be able to do anything, and so people won't want to have anything to do with you. And so there was a lot of myth and low information and awareness among the community, and at least perceived by the women we interviewed, around HIV transmission. And most of the women said that, for example, the community said that if you are HIV, then you're dead. You are not a person anymore, and you won't be able to have any more children. And so, and this is just a quote of one of the respondents. So they take us badly. You know that at times they say it came as a result of going out of marriage. So a lot of blame on the women being unfaithful. They take us negatively. If someone knows that you have this disease, you will go to your friends and tell them how you have it. You see, you will feel bad. So about the disclosure, there was a lot of fears affecting the mental health of the women we interviewed, and in particular that could prevent them from disclosing. And only eight out of 49 said that they never disclosed to anybody. And it was the first time they disclosed to someone when they talked to our researchers. And in particular, this is a quote of a woman that was talking about her husband. And says, so why you not told him? Now, it is that fear. I don't have a way of explaining to him. What are you afraid of? That his parents know me and they do not know my status. They might say our son was infected by that girl, and it might be possible that he is the one who infected me. No one knows who infected the other. So it's quite clear and evident they actually feared of being blamed, of having infected a partner, even if actually in a lot of the cases it was the other way around. And most of these women didn't know the status of their husband or partner. It was not astonishing, but we thought that fewer women wouldn't have disclosed. And in reality, the majority of them disclosed to at least one person. It could have been their husband, it could be their mother, daughter, or mother-in-law. And among the reasons they stated for disclosing were being advised by their health providers to tell at least someone, so that in case they fell sick, they could have someone who would bring them to the hospital, or they couldn't hide the sickness anymore, so they had to tell at least someone, or it was so visible that people just guessed. And they couldn't hide taking medication, or they had to breastfeed. And all of the women who disclosed their status said that they fear disclosure and its consequences. And for example, they said that the fear of being isolated, the fear of being gossiped about, and that was quite common across all the women. And the fear actually also denial or support from their family. So they thought that if they would tell the family, then nobody would help them anymore and they would abandon them. And lastly was the fear of partner rejection. So they really had most of them cited that. So it was very hard to tell him. Someone says long before you disclose, you are unable because you don't know how he will respond. When someone knows about his status, you fear to say it because you fear of being left. So the fear of abandonment was quite high among all the samples. And in fact, among some of the negative outcomes was actually the abandonment. Three of the women said that they were left, that their husband remarried or divorced them. And one woman actually, when she found out she was positive, she left the husband herself. And although there were no reports of any physical violence, though we might not know because we just asked, but the women may not have told us, there were a lot of reports about verbal or emotional abuse. And also changes in the relationship. For example, the fact that the women were blamed by the husband, and since then their relationship was different and the husband wouldn't treat them nicely, as they said. And despite that, there were also a lot of positive outcomes that came out after disclosure. For example, couple counseling. So some women mentioned that as a result of their disclosure, the husband went with them or their partner to the clinic to get tested and get counseling together, or the husband went separately to test. And also quite interesting was the higher use of condom. So because of the disclosure, then as a way of protecting, especially in serial discourse and couples, then they used the condom. And also greater access to family and social support network. At least they said that they would get more financial support or emotional support from their members of their family. Okay. So of the 15 women who said that they were on ARVs, at least five of them said they would hide and they wouldn't want to take the ARVs in front of anybody else because they feared that their status would be involuntarily disclosed. And so this is a quote or some of the women said that they would try to hide taking the pills from their husband, or if they had visitors or friends in the house, they would hide it and they would not take the pills and wait until the visitors had left. And quite interestingly though, despite having said that, all the women who were on ARV said that they would not miss their pills. And because the ARVs made them feel better, and especially among the women who was postnatally, so whether young babies, they said that no matter what, they would still take the pill, and it was quite an interesting finding. And what happened then at the clinic and how the women felt? So we asked them what was their experiences within the health facilities, okay? And there was a lot of the women who said that they feared that the providers might disclose their status. So definitely there was a lack of trust in the providers, and they preferred to have just one single provider where they would go all the time, so that they knew that the provider might not tell everybody else about their status. And one person also mentioned the fear of being discriminated by female providers, which was quite interesting, and they prefer male providers. But we might have to explore that a bit more. And this is a very interesting finding. And because we were doing a project on integration of services and its benefit, well, of course, the HIV-positive women and clients would prefer integrated services because they can just go there and have everything at the same time. And the literature also is positive in stating that. And we got the opposite. So because of the lack of privacy felt by the women in the waiting rooms and at the facilities, they actually expressed preferences for separate services. And so this is just one quote that he said. At the time I was in the hospital, I had fear. That is why some people didn't want to be identified. Because when anyone sees you, they say that one is sick. But on this side, we know each other. We think that separation is good. Even when you tell someone, they don't fear. There is no secrecy. Because you're telling them, all of us are on one condition. And interesting, it was primarily people or clients attending family planning services who express this preference. And however, although the PNC clients didn't really express a clear preference, they still cited the benefits of being able to exchange ideas and advice with other positive women. So it was indirectly. And another interesting finding was that our data suggests a link between the HIV support groups and the high self-worth, so likely to actually result in health, better health-seeking behaviors and also drug uptake. And some of the women, but very few, said that they were attending support groups, and mainly they said that they were attending counseling sessions or a group session within the postnatal clinic or the family clinic or the HIV. But they all said that they benefited from this kind of information. And they said that this advice and the information they received actually helped them overcome fears of stigma and rejection and reduce negative views about HIV transmissions. For example, the fact that they all feared of having another baby because of fear of transmission, and because of the advice that they received at the clinic, they changed their mind. So the old fears that they had of being stigmatized, then it actually changed, and they knew that now, even if they have the virus, they could live with a healthy baby. And so there was a lot of displayed high degree of self-efficacy. A lot of the women actually expressed that. And if I don't mind, even if I'm criticized, one says, because this is my status and my body. And to conclude, So our findings that really highlighted the internal stigma that the women felt really can lead to low disclosure, poor adherence, and it's actually quite widespread, and sometimes even reinforced by the providers. And this can have serious implications for drug uptake, and thus even HIV prevention and treatment. And the promotion of HIV support groups that can enhance self-worth among HIV-positive clients could actually result in a better health outcome. And probably the providers could be the linkage between the clients and this kind of support groups, because some were within the clinics, but others were organized outside by the church, for example. And also, our very interesting finding that seems to suggest that HIV-positive clients, especially attending family planning services, prefer to attend separate HIV clinics for fear of being identified by neighbors or community members. And this will have serious implications for our work on integration, and we would like to explore this further and see whether other similar studies are finding the same data. And lastly and finally, because of this fear of disclosure that was so widespread among all the women that we interviewed, and also its appearance in the literature, we thought that maybe counseling should also integrate risk of disclosure within as part of the package. And so far, probably only one woman mentioned that one provider said that there could be a risk of stigma, and nobody else said. And in particular, because there's a big push of disclosure among the providers, but then women are left by themselves and they face all the stigma and the fears, and nobody's there to help them. So, thank you very much.